you're gonna play. You fight with your family over which is better, Marvel or DC. The geek of all of your friends, 'cause you know what, Batman beats Superman. This is the right place to be, so turn up the volume, 'cause you're an alter geek. Alter geek. Get altered. Get geeky. Alter geek. From Star Wars to Star Trek, comics to tech. Alter geek. Get altered. Get geeky. Alter geek. Pull up a chair, 'cause you're an alter geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steven C. Phillips, and in this episode, I am joined by a friend of the program who started the program with me.
Michael Booth Ninja Powers.
Yes, welcome back.
It's good to be back. This is going to be really weird for me because you and I recorded an episode for your Legends podcast last night, so it's like, it's weird for me to be like, yeah, it's good to be back podcasting after when I just did it like the night before. But the same sentiment. It's all the same though, because you know I don't get to do it as often as I would like, and it's always a pleasure to sit down and be able to converse with friends and get caught up any way, shape, or form that I can with my hectic job. So. Thanks for allowing me to come back on.
Yep, no problem. And glad to have a co-host again. I've discovered over the last, 223 episodes that I do have the capability to carry a one-man show. But it's always better when I have a co-host.
I've thought about doing like a one-man thing. But every time I think about doing a one-man thing, I'm like, how boring would that be? Like, I don't think there's very many, if any, podcasts that I listen to that are one-man shows. I have YouTube channels that I'll listen to where it's one guy, you know, talking about he's doing like a Let's Play. But that's one guy doing a Let's Play. That's like, you get to listen to him talk and you get to see what they're doing. You're not just listening to someone
babble
talk at you, you know.
Yeah, that sometimes is difficult for me to do, to converse by myself. Like last week I did an hour and 5 minutes on my own, and sometimes it's like, depending on the podcast, like this one I can usually stick between the 45 minutes and like hour and 15 minute mark, even on my own. Just because I have enough stuff that I can kind of pull from between comments, suggestions, topics, and just a variety of things. And then, you know, going into my Transformers and superhero podcast and Star Trek podcast, I'm able to split off a lot of the stuff that previously filled this podcast onto their own respective feeds, and I can talk 20 to 30 minutes on that there. And it's, I feel like I get to free up the rein here, as it will, so that I can still touch on it briefly, but I don't feel like I have to give a full description. I can say, hey, if you want to hear more, just go over there.
Right. Or you cut all the fat out of the show.
Yeah, basically. It just makes it more fun that way. And it's better to give an overview. Like for a little bit there, I was giving basically news headlines that were clickbait. I was reading them so that people didn't have to worry about seeing like 50 different websites posting the same garbage.
Right.
So like, you know, it's basically it was like a nothing burger news article that everybody was posting to get clicks. And then I was like, hey, I can save you like 20 minutes of you know, clicking on all these different websites, and I can give you what the headline essentially was in like 10 seconds.
So you became that guy that's on Facebook, that's on all of those, he usually posts first on all those like weird stories from those websites you've never heard of. And he's like, let me save you the time.
Yeah, basically. I was doing that for a little bit, like with some of the news.
And he just spoils the entire article.
Yep. So it's like, no need to go click over there. Just read this and you're good.
Right.
So, got a little bit of listener feedback between, the website and on Facebook, and I'm going out of the norm of some of the podcasts, because when I fly solo, I find I have to have a definitive structure or I go off the rails, and there's a lot of ands and ums in the podcast itself. So if I can click on the stupid thing. I'm doing it right now. Tim Silvers commented on last week's episode because I was complaining of my Windows 10 problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're aware
I saw some of it. I'm not completely oblivious to what's going on with other people. Like I every once in a while I am able to scroll back through Twitter, get caught up on stuff, but a lot of the time when I log in on Twitter, I'm skipping over 500 posts.
I get it. I follow a lot of people, so I kind of have the same boat there.
So,
but yeah, I was more or less talking about my irritation with Windows 10, and the fact that, earlier this summer I opened up my mouth and said that basically telling people how to avoid the Windows, updates from updating your system. And shortly thereafter, I started getting notifications to update my Windows, even though I had them all disabled.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the, like, it's the October 2016 release, I believe, of Windows 10. And they had another one that came out, like, in the spring. And then they had one that came out just now for the fall, Creators Update, which... The one before the Creators Update, they made it so that you had to have a definitive window of when you're using your machine, and Windows could basically just commandeer and reboot your system on its own outside of that window.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that kind of irritated me, because not only do they remove software because they decide that it doesn't work with Windows anymore, I use like the Sticky Notes app from Windows 7. Which still works if you don't have the updated Windows 10s. I use it for majority of some of my notes for continual upload, like just to kind of keep track of what episode number I am on certain shows or work notes. And so I use it for that. But also Windows 10, every time it updates, changes all your settings to default. So I have to spend an obscene amount of time changing everything. And so... I ended up booting up my computer it was like 2 weeks ago, and I had the Fall Creators Update installing. And I'd been going in manually and surgically cutting this out of the registry and out of my hard drive every time I would try and download. And it takes it a few weeks to try it again, and then I butcher it, and then it goes away. And well, this time it succeeded, and I was able to roll it back. Because they only give you a 10-day window. And so I was complaining, and I was more or less saying that if this continues, I'm going to end up getting a Mac at some point. Because I am so sick of... Like, I just want to get on my computer and have it work. Like, I like the Windows interface more, and I'm used to the shortcuts, but I do know how to use a Mac.
Okay, see, that right there... Like, I was while you were sharing, I was reading Tim's comment. Myself, and I was like, this is his comment is Mac heavy, so how did we get to this? So yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, so I mean, it's
tidbit.
And like I said, I've used the Mac OS, and I have no issue with it. My issue is you're paying, you know, a premium for the hardware, and that's more so because I can't afford it. But with,
there is a barrier to entry with Apple hardware.
And that's and I knew that, and that's why I was kind of a little bit, you know, most of what my apprehension of getting a Mac is the price. It's not the usability of it, because you can do 90% of the same stuff on both PC and Mac.
Well, I mean, I don't know what you're worried about. What I don't follow the Windows stuff. I use a Windows computer for work and for work only. Like, if I don't have to touch it, I won't touch it. But like, I know you, like, obviously Windows being your primary thing, that's where you game, that's where you do your podcast recording and your editing and all that stuff. Like, I don't know, like, what the developer, I don't know what the creator update in Windows is doing. That's making it so that you can't continue your workflow.
Like I said, it removes some of the software because it just deems it not necessary, and it changes all my settings, which just kind of royally sets me back.
So, like, is it removing Windows software, or is
no?
It removing,
it's removing, like, just software on my PC that it's decided is too outdated to use.
And you can't it won't allow you to reinstall it.
I have to reinstall it, but it's just a pain, and I don't want to deal with it.
So.
I'm just playing
devil's advocate here. Would it be less of a pain to bite the bullet and jump forward than it would be to go in and do everything that you just said you've been doing for the last 2 weeks?
It would be worse to bite the bullet, because I'd spend more time doing that than just avoiding it.
Okay.
I've got it down to a science now. It takes me about 10 minutes, and I can disable, like, everything.
Like, the way that you're describing what you're doing, that's one of the reasons why I was so happy to get rid of Windows, a Windows computer. And the reason that you said that you just want to be able to sit down and do whatever it is you want to do without having to prep the computer, like, that those two reasons right there are why I switched over to using a Mac.
And that was kind of my problem, is I went to get on one night, and it wasn't even to game or anything. I was, because, like, I have to, like, groom my cats, like, periodically, or their hair gets, like, obscenely everywhere when they sit with me, and it gives me, like, just makes me sneeze a lot. So I was going to sit down, put on my headphones, watch, you know, some show I'd missed during the week. And I boot up my computer, you know, about 20 minutes before I'm going to get on it, usually. Even though I've got a solid state, it's booted up in, like, 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And so I come back, and it's, like, an hour later, you know, to go do this. And my computer's at, like, 50-something percent upgrading to Windows Fall Creators Update. And I'm like, ugh. So I spent I spent the next hour waiting for this thing to finish its update. It took 5 minutes to roll it back, and then I promptly deleted the Windows Creators Update and the Update Assistant, which they install without you knowing it. I still have yet to figure out what update causes this to automatically work, because I have it disabled, and I have my my firewall, which is not Windows based. I use Norton, and it blocks Windows Update.
Okay.
I have majority of Windows architecture blocked through my firewall, which seems to catch it 90% of the time. So I don't actually have to deal with it all that much, but it's irritating that it just screws with my workflow. And so in that sense, I'm contemplating the eventual dive into a Mac.
Well, like, no, I mean, the Mac's not all, like, okay, so, like, I don't ever try to fight against the grain with my Mac. Like, it allows me, like, this is why I like my iPhone, my iPad, all the Mac computers I have. It allows me to sit down and do what I want to do when I want to do it. Like, I spend no time with my devices, like, maintaining them, if you will. Like, I don't spend any time maintaining the hardware or the operating system on any of my stuff. But I will say that there have been instances, especially within the last, I'll say, like, 5 or 6 years. I think probably since the invention of the App Store, in OS X. a lot of things have changed. And apps that I had used before, like, developers gave up on trying to support Apple's frequent changes. I used to have an app for recording podcasts called Wiretap Studio. And that allowed you to record from two different sources into one audio file. So, and it was just a little tiny, tiny little program that you set what codec quality you wanted. And you just said one input was Skype and the other input would be like my microphone. And that's how I would record everything. And then I updated my Mac and Apple dropped support for an API that app was using. And so the app became unusable. And the developer was too small to find a workaround or to put the resources on finding a workaround to make it work. So there was a time there where I was looking, I used to have two partitions on my computer for recording a podcast. I had the most up-to-date one, and then I had the one where just that app would work. So I could still record podcasts. I'd record it and save it, and then I would boot into the other partition and edit everything using all the new stuff. But eventually that became really tedious, and I found another program that was amazing. Like, you just draw, like, it's called Audio Hijack, and you basically just, you can build templates for recording things, and you can say, you can add almost an unlimited number of audio input devices, and then you just draw like lines, you draw like a diagram of how you want that audio to flow in the workflow, and that becomes your audio processing workflow. And you can add like things inside of it, so you can adjust the input gain on each individual source. Like, and it allows you to tweak things in the recording process of the audio that you're capturing. So I started using that, and that's been great. But like, there's hiccups, sometimes there's roadblocks. Like, obviously, both sides have their kinks in them. Like I said, you know, you said that, you know, your Windows update was removing applications. And I've seen the Mac stuff remove APIs that apps need to function.
Yeah, I guess so. That's not always greener on the other side.
No, not always. And another example I have is I used to download all my TV shows. And I had this one app that would take, because you know when you download a TV show, it always says like Supergirl.S01EO2.
Yeah.
And then dot whatever. Like, well, there's a TV database website that actually has, it's like IMDb, but for TV shows. And oh, okay. It has all that data. And so this guy made an app where you drop in your file and it goes out to this website and parses out the information and renames or adds the metadata for that episode so that media players don't recognize it as Supergirl.S01EO2. They recognize it as Supergirl episode 1 and then the title of the episode. It doesn't change like the file name itself, but it adds the metadata for things to read it properly and display it properly. And that no longer works because the way that Apple changed something, it was like, so they have an app store, and then that's like, there's like a button down version of OS X. Like there's only one version of OS X, right? But there's a button down experience where everything that you put on it comes out of the app store. And then there's like there's a wide open West kind of version where you can get your apps out of the app store, but you can also download them from a developer's website at your own peril. And for whatever reason, this guy threw in the towel. Like, they made a change to the App Store policy, and he threw in the towel on the whole thing.
Wow.
So but at the same time though that happened, I was in the process of transitioning out of downloading my TV shows. Like, I don't download TV shows anymore. My wife and I subscribe and cancel various internet subscription services depending on what we want to watch. And we've just started doing that instead of, you know, setting up torrent feeds and RSS feeds to, you know, grab TV shows. But it's been an experience. And like I said, I used to get a kick out of primping and preening and maintaining my Windows computer back when I was in college. Like, and I didn't have a girlfriend. Like, Friday and Saturday night was watching, what was that? Oh gosh, it was on Tech TV. Patrick Norton, Leo Laporte,
Screensavers. They do the new one on Twit TV.
Okay. Well, I used to watch Screensavers, and of course they would give you like little tips and tricks on how to, you know, edit your registry or how to partition your hard drive to make your virtual memory faster and all this other stuff. And I would spend my weekends doing that stuff, like running adware and spyware removal tools and defragging my hard drive and all this other stuff. And then I didn't have to do it anymore. It's a very different experience when you don't have to do that stuff anymore. But I recommend, you know, I've gotten most of my family is all on Apple stuff because I've told them that if they want my help with anything, they need to buy what I tell them to buy.
Yeah, that's kind of the same boat we are with like cell phones and devices.
So I'm like, I don't have time to learn everything. So if there's something that you want, you need to get what I know. And luckily that's worked out. So no, that's a bummer that they just keep forcing that on you.
Well, and I find it funny because I think that they're purposely watching me. And I know that sounds like a paranoia thing. I've miraculously in the past, I don't know, few weeks had just random Microsoft people following me.
I will say, I do not believe Apple has ever forced an update down my throat.
And that's more so what I have a problem with. It's not that it's me getting to choose. It's that they're doing it. And then just, it's kind of like nonchalant, like hidden. Like, it's not even like asking. It's just doing. And that's more so what I have the problem with.
Yeah. See, I do know that, like, I think I can, like, if I wanted to, I could make a partition on this drive and I could download, like, an older version of OS X. Like, there's a lot of really cool things that they've done since they've gone to the App Store. Like, you don't get, like, when you would get a Mac, when I first got my first Mac, you would always get, like, the system install disks. And that's how you'd reinstall OS X. But now they have a recovery partition. Like, I've never seen a recovery partition actually be used for doing anything helpful other than on a Mac. Okay? So, like, obviously Windows has this and some manufacturers. I've seen it on, like, on HPs
and some other Dells things. Have them as well.
Okay. Well, the recovery hard drive on this is basically it's the entire diagnostic suite that you can actually access from the computer, but you can boot into it if the hard drive is damaged or anything like that. Or, like, if you want to do a clean install, like, you don't have to have a disk or a formatted thumb drive. You boot into this and you say you want to do a clean install, it connects to the internet and downloads the installation files and boots up. Like, it's quite interesting the way they keep obviously it's kind of scary to rely on the internet. I mean, your SOL if you never have internet, but I, you know, it's one of those sorry, we live in a first world country. I live in a pretty populated area. I have internet access, you know, so I'm the guy that doesn't, you know, I don't fear the future. So, but no, it's pretty, but yeah, I don't think they've ever forced one on me. Like, I think you can, you can always make a partition and just install the latest and greatest on that.
Yeah. See, I just want to permanently defer it. I mean, I have Windows 10. I enjoy it. It's definitely a lot more stable and a lot faster than 7 or 8, but I don't want what comes with the new one.
Right. Oh, the other nice thing too is the ability to resize hard drives on the fly.
Yeah, I don't know if I can do that.
I don't think you can. It's something like I can add a new partition to my hard drive and then I can delete that partition and make it the whole drive again.
Yeah, you can't do that on a PC.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, you have to go through like a what's it called? Like disk management or something like that to do it, and then it foobars the whole drive.
Yeah, that doesn't happen on OS X. So that was one of the cool things that I learned early on, because they use that for boot camp. Because like when you want to install Windows on your machine, it makes an NTFS partition, and when that partition is made, you can't repartition that NTFS partition that it makes.
Mm-hmm.
But you can delete it and overwrite it with the original file structure, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So it's amazing how flexible it is, and then you see something like, but right now, for some reason, my computer won't read FAT32 drives.
Huh.
It sees them, but it won't read them, which baffles me.
That's weird, because Mac generally
will read it. From what I've seen, it has something to do with the new file system that Apple rolled out. It doesn't properly mount FAT32 drives.
Huh.
So yeah, I'll probably end up looking into that a little bit here, because I have a 3 terabyte hard drive that is formatted as FAT32 that I can't read.
That's unfortunate.
It's a little bit of a problem.
So, all right, gonna take a quick break so that I can insert this commercial bit here that's sponsoring the show, and then come back with some interesting movie content that we talked about off air to begin with. So be right back. And we're back. So, coming back to this this part of the podcast, we're going to talk about Jurassic World, since it dropped its new trailer today.
Last week.
Well, whatever. I saw it today.
Oh, okay. So, it came out whenever you get a chance to see it.
Yeah, it comes out when I notice it.
Gotcha.
No, I think I missed it, because last week I was at TFG and Mike's wedding, and so like it may have come out before his wedding, but I wasn't paying too much attention to things, trying to get stuff done for the end of the week of work, and so yeah, I may have missed that, but yeah, it was a little interesting. I wasn't really sure what was happening to begin with, and then I realized what it was for. You know, we've got to go back.
Yeah, it...
Life finds a way.
I don't know. I feel like the premise is...
weak.
Like, I don't get what...
They're going back to save the dinosaurs from an exploding island, like...
And I get that.
And then they're having a court hearing to decide whether they should. And then they've got Jeff Goldblum returning.
Yeah, I get what's happening in the trailer. Am I going to see it? Yes, but the premise just seems so weird. It doesn't seem to. I don't know what. It seems the most hackneyed, far-fetched of all of the Jurassic Park movies.
That's pretty bad if you consider 2 and 3.
Like, well, okay. 2 doesn't fall apart until they get back to the mainland.
Yep.
Okay, that's when that falls apart.
3 falls apart when they get onto the Jurassic land. Well, it's like kind of middle.
I don't know that... Okay. 3... Okay, a lot of people rag on 3 because of the whole Velociraptor thing. Right?
Yeah.
But that's out of the book. Like, that is lifted straight out of the books. That's not something that they made up for the movie, but they lifted that straight out of the books. And I've never really heard anyone knock the books for that. So I on that alone, like, I find all the Jurassic Park movies watchable to some... I guess it's like, okay, I find them all watchable. But whether or not each one is good, that's a different story.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that boat.
But I feel like this one, Fallen Kingdom, just...
The last one was pretty good.
It was. Jurassic World was good. I enjoyed Jurassic World quite a bit. This one just seems so... The trailer just makes it seem really, really weird because... I don't know. Because they're... I'm wondering what the... Is it just them trying to outrun a volcano? Like, there's got to be more going on in this movie, right? It looks like they're just trying to save dinosaurs from a volcano.
Yeah, pretty much. And then the T-Rex, you know, comes in to save the day again.
Well, apparently, according to Colin Trevorrow, the producer, that is...
Didn't he direct it?
I think he's only producing it. He directed Jurassic World.
I'm going to look. I think that...
I think he was a producer.
I think he directed it.
Well, I could definitely be wrong. Like I said,
He wrote it.
Okay.
That's
not the same thing as directing it.
No. He did not direct it. Yeah, okay. He wrote it and he was the executive producer.
Is there anyone we know that directed it?
I'm looking at that right now, and it's J.A. Bayona, which has done a bunch of stuff I've never heard of, mostly like foreign films.
Okay. But you know, I will see it because it's a good summer movie. I like the Jurassic Park movies. I like the Jurassic franchise as a whole. It's just this premise, unless there's something else going on that isn't just them saving the dinosaurs from a freaking volcano. And especially like in the trailer when they all get run off the side of a cliff. Like, didn't you just... I don't know. It's a very weird trailer. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of... I think the best part was watching Jeff Goldblum. Even though it was like rehash.
Yeah.
Because at least that made sense. So. Yeah, I think we're going to go to Star Trek Tarantino. Even though I kind of touched on it last episode a little bit. I didn't get many other people's opinions on it.
Since you shared yours, I will just come right out and say, let me preface this with saying I have not read an article. I've seen the headline, and all I can say is I'm down for this. If only because I don't know, like, okay, the state of Star Trek as it stands right now, I don't see how this hurts the property.
It already hurt itself a long time ago, so.
And that's what I'm saying. Like anyone that looks at this is like a bad thing for Star Trek. Like, Star Trek hasn't been Star Trek since, like, what?
2005.
Like, Voyager and Deep Space Nine?
Even Enterprise wasn't that bad. I've recently gone back and rewatched it all, and it actually fits with continuity.
I liked Enterprise. Don't get me wrong. I liked Enterprise, but I'm just thinking, like good Star Trek is what? Considered to be, like, it ended with Voyager?
Pretty much.
Deep Space Nine?
Voyager.
The franchise, you know, I don't have a problem with what he's going to, with whatever he would want to do, and the fact that they want to make it rated R. I think that is just, I feel like that's, okay, I feel like that's two things. That's one, not trying to pigeonhole Tarantino into any one thing. Okay. Because it basically gives him
free rein
to tell whatever story he wants to tell. Okay.
Because the rated R could mean, it doesn't necessarily mean, it could just mean something as simple as, like, extended violence and explosions.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever the MPAA wants to make rated R that week. So, you know, it could allow him to produce a movie that isn't, like, he could start trying to film a movie without having to worry about restrictions being placed on him. Okay. And I forget what the other side of that was going to be. It could also just be them trying to capitalize on the whole, like, rated R craze that's going on right now that we saw with Daredevil and Logan.
Deadpool.
I meant to say Deadpool.
Yeah, which is what popularized the whole thing.
Right. It could be them trying to, like, capitalize on that with this franchise, or it could be, like you said, maybe he's trying to do, what was it, the Future Imperfect stuff? Yeah. Or the alternate universe?
Well, I'm wondering if he could be doing the Mirror Universe.
That's what it was.
And I could see Tarantino pulling off a really good Mirror Universe, because he usually does a lot of dark characters. Granted, I'm not a fan of anything he's done, so I think that kind of impairs my judgment a little bit.
I like the portrayal. I like what he's able to get out of his actors. For example, Christoph Waltz. I really like him in Inglourious Basterds. I can watch the scene where he's eating the slice of pie across from the female protagonist. And he's just eating a pie and having a conversation with her. Mm-hmm. I can watch that scene like I would watch Brandon Routh catch a falling airplane in Superman Returns. Like, and I get the same joy out of just watching that scene. Because I think it's a killer performance. So I think that's what, you know, when I'm always intrigued by what Tarantino can bring, what he could do, because, you know, I might not go like, oh, his movies are amazing, but I like what he's able to get out of his performances.
Yeah.
And I feel like he does characters really well. And I feel like that's kind of what I like, with the exception of Into Darkness, I like the most recent, you know, I enjoy the most recent Star Trek movies.
Yeah, Star Trek Beyond actually was really good, despite people, I think it got bad rap because Into Darkness was so bad.
See, I like Beyond. You and I talked at length about Into Darkness, and I didn't really have a problem with the original Star Trek.
No.
You're getting characters that are just like, the actors are just playing the characters that came before with subtle little twists on them.
Yeah.
And so I think it would be interesting to see see if Tarantino can breathe life into actual Star Trek characters that aren't just trying to pay homage to
what came
an
before.
Earlier cast. Yeah.
See, this is my soapbox at this point, because I've seen, and I don't know if you've watched Star Trek Discovery or not, But I'm at this point now with Star Trek that I wish that they would stop trying to reconnect it with the original continuity and the original shows, because it had a specific look, a specific feel, a specific writing style, whether it be in characters or everything else, and certain aesthetics that they all had, kind of uniformity between all of them, even through, you know, Enterprise. And when you got the rebooted J.J. Abrams, bright, shiny, you know, more explosions, more, you know, space opera, Star Wars than classic Star Trek, I feel like the pendulum for it switched, and they should have done a fresh, brand new crew, brand new ships, brand new, just reboot the entire universe, start over from scratch, not, you know, giving them free rein to not have to carry over any element of the original and tweak it however they saw fit for the new generation that's out now, so that they aren't trying to pigeonhole themselves and fit into this continuity of stuff from the last 50 some years.
I agree with that 100%.
Because I feel like, and this is my pet peeve with Discovery, is there's so many glaring plot holes, despite their saying that they're going to explain it all, of not only technology differences, but aesthetics. And they claim that there's this massive attention to detail that it's going to fit with continuity, but it takes place 10 years before the original series. And the Klingons have this totally different aesthetic, which looks nothing like the stuff from Enterprise or the original series or anything that comes before or after. And then they've got all this super high tech technology that's in the show. Doesn't matter what starship, it's just they're all super high tech, which dwarfs everything even in the Next Generation through Voyager and Deep Space Nine timeline, which is, you know, 150 years later basically. And it, like I said, it takes place 10 years before the original series, and they show the cage, the episode, the original pilot with Captain Pike, and their technology looks like it's way older than what we're getting in this show. And so, like, I just find so many continuity issues. I don't know why they chose to do a prequel, but I felt like I go into the show watching it, pretending it doesn't, it's not in continuity, it's its own thing, which helps me enjoy it in a different light than sitting there trying to put, fit it into the continuity of the show.
I get that. And I agree with you again that it should not have, it should be its own thing. It shouldn't have been a prequel.
Because on its own, it's fine. And they have Netflix behind it. They have the all access. They don't have the, you know, they can, it's mature rated. I'm not particularly fond of what they did with the Klingons, and particularly it was the mid season that they had like nude Klingon, and I was like, okay, I didn't really need that, but like I get the language, like they, you know, whatever, they can do what they want on that, but I feel the other was distasteful.
I don't know, I feel like we've talked about this before, about what this was originally supposed to be, which was an anthology series.
And they've essentially done that, because they've got chapter one and chapter two for the season one, where it's two different story arcs, because they wrapped up story arc one and they've started story arc two now, but it's crew.
That's not any different than what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did for a couple of seasons.
Yeah, and I wish that they'd just wipe out the crew every season and then start over.
Yeah, to me, an anthology series is something like American Horror Story, or it's something like True Detective. Like, it is completely different character. American Horror Story does it by bringing back the same actors, portraying different characters, which is fun because you get to see the acting range. But like True Detective did it by, you know, they completely changed it up, and I'm not gonna trumpet on, you know, share, you know, talk about, you know, whether or not True Detective season 2 was any good or not, but like it, that, to me, that's what an anthology series is. It's two seasons of a show that have nothing to do with each other other than title. Like they're not linked in any way. They can be set in different time periods, but we've talked about this. We've beaten this. This is a dead horse between you and I.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of wish that they would have just done, like, you know, like the Department of Temporal, you know, something, just so that they could have had maybe somebody, you know, like even in Enterprise, you know, Agent Daniels, like follow him around or something, you know.
Is all of Discovery going to be on Netflix at any point?
No. It's going to be on CBS All Access exclusively. In the United States, in Canada, and it's going to be on something else. I think they've got like Space Network, and then everywhere else it's like Netflix. But I believe
you know where else it is?
Where?
BitTorrent.
Yeah, I know. I
don't know. I can't. There's no
I will not pay the $6 or $10 a month for their stupid app to watch a show that should be on cable.
I said earlier that my wife and I have started, you know, we subscribe to Hulu, we subscribe to Netflix, and
that's different.
To HBO.
You get a grab bag of different networks.
Right, but I also said that we will cancel a subscription once we're caught up on something. If we can't find anything to watch, we'll like cancel it until like the next season of Westworld comes out or something, right?
Because
you don't have to, if there's something for you to watch or you've already binged everything there is to watch, there's no reason for you to keep paying, you know, $8, $10, $15 for a service until the next season comes out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I can't, you know, I'm not, I can't, I'm not willing to cancel one of my services right now just to sign up for, CBS All Access just to watch Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah, I'm the same boat. It's not that good to be like, I mean, to be honest, it's not, but I don't feel like I'm getting solid performances out of the actors. Like, I mean, they have elements where they are, if that episode's specifically written for that person.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the characters feel flat if that happens.
Well, you know, that's what you want out of a show, right? You want flat characters.
Yeah. And like I said, they still haven't, they're like, oh, we've got, you know, 10 years of continuity that we're going to make it right before the original series kicks in. And I'm like, you still haven't explained how things started out looking totally different. Like I don't know. I just have so many issues with the show. It mars my ability to watch it without having this tedious eye to examine every aspect of it.
I'm grabbing the first few episodes of it right now.
I have the first whole chapter one of up to the mid season if you want it. But
no, I got it.
I will say the first two episodes, while they matter, the third episode is technically the pilot because the first two episodes, it basically sets the premise for chapter one, and like for the whole, you know, up to mid season story arc, but it's irrelevant essentially up to episode three.
That's nice.
They're just dragging like emotional baggage. So, and there's such flip-flopping on how the characters are portrayed between episode to episode. It's a mess, but I'll discuss that with you after you've seen more of it.
So I flip side real quick though, my wife and I have been enjoying Orville.
I love the Orville.
That has been pretty fun. I don't know how many episodes we're behind. I don't remember the last one we saw, but that one has been very, like I said, both my wife and I have enjoyed that one.
How far up have you seen it so far?
I would have to look up an episode guide to tell you. I think we've seen like how many episodes have there been?
There's 12 in season one.
I want to say we've maybe seen 9.
Okay. It sticks pretty good. And I feel like we get more of Star Trek out of it with more of a modern touch, but it's got the very much the writing and the aesthetic and the feel of like the Next Generation.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take itself too seriously either.
Yeah, I will admit I was shocked by the level of material that they're willing to cover. What is it, the second episode they talk about the gender situation?
Yeah, and then they talk about the social media, like, judging people just based on, you know, an inconsequential thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he hits some pretty heavy topics, which kind of reminds me of The Next Generation.
Yep.
And they've even, you know, you'll see more of it as the season progresses and as it finishes out, but I'm glad it got a season 2, and I really love that show.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of my... I feel I'm getting my Star Trek fix by watching it, but I'm also getting like a few like natural laughs just based on the writing and the way that the characters portray the jokes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like it's a forced laugh when I'm watching it. I'm genuinely like kind of like busting out laughing.
Right.
So I don't feel like it's pandering to me at all. So it's very entertaining to watch.
Bringing it back around, though, I don't think Tarantino directing a Star Trek movie is a bad thing. So, that's where I come down on that one.
I'm not entirely sure yet, but I'll wait and reserve judgment. I know he did pitch an idea to J.J. Abrams. And they have who then passed that on to Paramount, and they have a writing staff. Like a think tank.
I almost wonder how cool would it have been if like they didn't say he was going to do a Star Trek movie and they just shot a Star Trek movie, they put a trailer out there, and that's when you first heard that it was directed by Quentin Tarantino.
See, like, I think that would have... I think that would kind of take care of a lot of the people's opinions of certain directors if they just shot stuff and stopped telling people everything.
Yeah, like because because
you have directors, this preconceived notion on directors and writers, like right off the get go.
Exactly.
I'm so guilty of it. Like,
and you, but and you know, I don't think, you know, the other reason I'm really interested to see this, I don't think Tarantino's ever done a science fiction movie. That's the other reason I'm interested in seeing this. And what if it's not even like a starship?
Well, like, I've heard rumors that, and granted, they wanted to bring Chris Hemsworth back as Kirk's dad and do a time travel piece, but I've also heard that he wants to do like a time travel type piece with it, which, you know, that's not any different than anything in Star Trek as it is, because they do a lot of time travel. But
I mean, if you think about it, come on, let's think about this logically, right? The Star Trek IV is the time travel one, and this would be the fourth, could technically be the fourth Star Trek movie in the new reboot. I mean, They did Wrath of Khan for 2, why not do a time travel one for number 4?
Well, they did time travel in the first one.
That's not the same thing, and you know it.
They went back in time and altered history.
That's not the same thing as the story for A Voyage Home, though.
I know. That was kind of a different take that I thought was kind of unique.
So.
But, yeah, I mean, I'd be fine with it. I mean, after I've come down from my, you know, outrage last week.
But it's probably like the whole Ben Affleck being Batman announcement thing. So I think
settled in now.
Yeah, I think Tarantino's a guy that can do something really interesting with a property that doesn't even know what it is anymore.
Well, and that's I think that I would much rather see they can't do any worse than what Abrams did in Into Darkness between his writing staff and himself. Like, I honestly, like, I was pleasantly surprised by
Beyond.
And so, like, if they can keep going in that direction of doing new stories, new, you know, totally, I mean, because that was completely original.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing, you know, drawn out from that. Out of continuity, like, they don't even have any of the, I mean, the ship that they commandeered took place just before Enterprise.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was very fitting that they kind of went in that direction. So, I'm fine with it at this point.
Wouldn't it be weird if Tarantino ends up being the one that gets, Star Trek?
You mean gets it back on track?
Like, no, he gets it. Like he understood. Like, he's the one that understands what makes Star Trek Star Trek. He's the one that
that knows how to make it tick again.
That understands what everybody is
lacking.
What all the nerds are clamoring for. Like, he understands what's missing from everything that's been released so far. I feel like that would be like really. Really weird.
That would be weird, but I think that would only cement his future with the franchise.
I feel like anything he's going to do is going to be a one-off.
Yeah, I feel like that too. Which is unfortunate, but, like, you know, maybe we could get a Star Trek movie and not even in any particular continuity, but have it as like a one-off, like Logan.
Yeah, like why can't your movies be anthologies, like the Star Wars stories?
The only difference, like, with the Star Wars ones is, yeah, they're a one-off, but they still fit in continuity somewhere.
Yeah.
Whereas Logan doesn't. Like, I mean, it does, but it doesn't. Like, I would like to see him do, if he's going to do one, do, like, maybe a Mirror Universe film. Do it with... And the funny thing is Patrick Stewart, Captain Picard, said that mm-hmm. he'd love to work with Tarantino. What if they did a Mirror Universe, the Next Generation film?
I mean, I'd watch it.
I mean, I would watch it. Most of the cast, I mean, they're very aged at this point, but I think they would all be down for it.
You give them a really cool starship.
You give them a cool starship and give them really good characterizations.
What is it? You give them the Enterprise E for, you know, the F word? Or the Enterprise F for the F word?
Yeah.
That's what they get.
For the they do that for the Mirror Universe version, and then the regular verse they have the Enterprise E still.
Yep.
Yeah, I would be down for it, honestly. Like, I think that would be interesting, because the Next Generation, other than comics, is the only one that hasn't had a Mirror Universe.
Yeah. I'm down for it. Just real quick, though, sidebar, because because we brought it up real quick about the X-Men Logan got brought up being a one-off that's kind of set somewhere, right? I watched, probably for like the third time ever, I watched X-Men Apocalypse today.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it really weird. I just had this thought that X-Men 3 is the like the end of the present / future X-Men movies, like as like a where the X-Men are all together, like as a like it's a group thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like it that ends with X-Men 3. Everything past every X-Men movie past X-Men 3 has been a period piece, like a prequel. Like, I don't count. I think Days of Future Past still fits with my analogy, because like only 10% of that movie is set in the future.
Yeah,
and it's set so far in the future that it doesn't even match up with anything. So like that doesn't, you know, that doesn't count to me. So like, you know, but like the like Wolverine and Logan, like those. those are like anthology pieces. They're set after the events of X-Men 3, but they don't involve any other X-Men. So it just dawned on me. I was like, that's really just really weird that they don't that it isn't that way anymore. Like, I would like to see, like, the X-Men movies get caught up to present day stuff. But I guess if they keep doing period pieces, that's fine too.
It just makes it easier for them to not have to use the older actors or recast.
Oh, I get it. I get it. I'm just saying it's interesting because, you know, all the Marvel stuff is like, okay, we're going to keep moving. We'll have flashbacks, but we're going to keep moving everyone forward into the future, or at least try to keep it as close to present day as possible. Whereas the Fox stuff is just out there. Anyways, that was a digression.
Yeah. Which, you know, we could see it rebooted anyway with the Disney Fox deal.
Oh, yeah. We could talk about that for a quick second before we talk about the last thing that we wanted to.
Yeah.
That I wanted to. What do you think about that?
I'm down for it.
I'm down for it. For at the moment I'm down for it for like one reason, and that's because Disney will be able to release the theatrical versions of Star Wars.
Yeah.
That everyone's been clamoring for.
Well, the funny thing is A New Hope is the only one that's actually owned by Fox.
Right. But I think there was something about they have the rights to the theatrical releases.
Yeah, yeah, Fox does.
And so Disney wasn't able, you know, as much as fans wanted Disney to do it, even though they have restored prints of the theatrical cuts, they couldn't release them. But now they can.
Yep. Well, they will be able to.
So that'll be really neat. But everyone seems to be really hyped up for Marvel getting all of their properties back.
With the exception of, like, Sony with Spider-Man, which technically they still get to play with that sandbox anyway.
Right. So, but the interesting thing is a lot of people are clamoring for characters that are in Fantastic Four. And there was an interesting article that I caught on Slash Film. Fox doesn't actually own the rights to Fantastic Four.
Interesting.
The way that Fantastic Four kind of works, it works out kind of like, it's a similar deal to what Universal has with the Hulk. So there's a studio, they've made some films. I haven't looked up their film catalog, but you've probably seen their production title on a couple of films. They're called I always say Constantine, but it's like more like Constantine. Films. They own the production rights to Fantastic Four. Fox had the distribution rights.
Interesting.
So now it's kind of, obviously this is like a smaller production company that nobody's really heard of, right? So maybe Disney could just buy
that company.
That
I think they're buying another, like a small indie company with Fox.
That could be this Constantine Films, maybe. I don't know. Like, they've done, I just pulled up their Wikipedia page, trying to see like the most recent stuff that they've done, and nope, I don't see. I don't see anything. Oh, they've done all the Resident Evil movies. They were a production studio on the Resident Evil stuff. Oh, here we go. Most recent stuff. So Resident Evil, Fantastic Four, Pompeii, the 2013 Tarzan. I guess that was a thing that I didn't know about. Trying to see if there's anything else here real quick. They did both Fantastic Four and Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer. So yeah, they are the ones that actually have the rights to Fantastic Four. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of that. And that's basically the only tidbit I had about that, because a lot of people, like, obviously adding the X-Men is like a foregone conclusion. But a lot of people were excited for, like, Tim Gunn to potentially be able to play with the Galactic stuff in that comes along with Fantastic Four. And he might not be able to do that. So, yeah, that's about what I got to say about that. I'm excited just to see it, but at the same time, it's like, do they continue forward with the cast of characters that Fox has picked out?
I think they'll end up rebooting, because you know that at some point they're going to end up rebooting the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
They also said that they're not going to do like another big foray after the final Avengers films. Like, they're not going to do a big team up again.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Yeah, I think they'll do it. I just think it'll be a long time. It may not be while Feige's in charge, but...
So, yeah, I haven't seen the Infinity War trailer.
I have.
I'm going into that one completely untainted.
I have opinions, but they... I don't know if you've seen the memes about Thanos, but...
I mean, I've seen... I think one I saw, they put, like, Homer's chin on him.
Yeah, well, they did it because people have been comparing him to, like, they put a picture of Joss Whedon next to him. Because, like, he looks eerily like Joss Whedon. But they also, like, showed the fact that his face color is totally different from the one in, like, the Guardians films. Like, he's, like, more of a pinkish purple instead of, like, the dark, deep purple.
Yeah, he's changed a little bit from cameo to cameo, so. I don't know. That was quick. I mean, there's not a whole lot to say about it. It's either going to happen or it's not. I mean, I don't like it. I've seen Movie Revolt Dan comment on Twitter about, you know, we hear about Disney giving movie theaters a hard time. And this obviously isn't going to help anything.
Mm-mm.
So there's obviously that side of it to worry about as well. But, you know, that's just cost of doing business, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So I think to finish this out, we'll talk about Ready Player One.
Yes. So I've shared... I believe I shared some thoughts about my opinion with the book on episode a long time ago. You have no experience with the book, right?
No, I've never watched it.
And this is your first... this is the first trailer you've seen? You didn't see the first one, or is this the second one you've seen?
I think I watched the initial one, but I don't remember it. And so I went back and rewatched both, actually. And I'm pretty pumped for it, actually. It kind of reminds me of, in a sense, of watching, like, Tron Legacy.
Okay.
Like, I mean, in a sense, like, as far as, like, the virtual world thing. And, like, if you watch the movie Gamer, where people are plugged into a virtual world.
Yep, yep.
So, like, if you kind of cross the two a little bit and then you add in, like, pop culture references, then you kind of get the entire encompassing story.
And I think that last part, the pulp culture references, the trailer is littered with them. And that's why I said what I said on Twitter, which is, you know, and I said before on this podcast that I don't have a problem with, you know, sequels and reboots and remakes for movies from my childhood, especially when we've been talking about, like, you know, Turtles and a couple of other things here and there. But, like, I say I have zero nostalgic baggage, but, man, watching this trailer... just there's so much in there from that I remember from my childhood or that I even enjoy now that it's just it gets me right in the feels and gets me so excited. Like, I don't even, it's kind of like what I talked about the book the other day. I think it was yesterday when we were, you know, the book, I can't speak to whether the book is good or not, but as someone that grew up and with this and gets the references that are in the book, like, it's just so much fun. Like, even if it only speaks to me or to people that can, that were in that era, like, it's too much fun for it to be bad. And I think that's what a lot of people, like, there's a lot of criticisms around the book for it being, because it was the guy's first novel.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of criticisms around the book about it being shallow, and kind of by the numbers. But I feel like that's fine, because I didn't want something that was overly convoluted, because I wanted to enjoy the ride. And if this movie even comes close to being able to deliver that, which the trailer to me says that it will, like, that is great. And then there's some political stuff in the book that is kind of, it's kind of subtle, but it has a lot to do with, like, net neutrality, which is becoming a hot topic again, because we live in this crazy, stupid country. But I'm wondering if they're going to touch on that at all in the movie. There's a pacing thing that I haven't been able to pick up out of the movie yet. So, like, obviously in this trailer, they kind of give you the exposition about what's going on, the setup, what's going on. But what they don't tell you is that from the time that that guy died to the time that the story takes place, it had been like 5 years. Because what happens is the guy dies and he plants this massive Easter egg, right? They tell you what the stakes are: control of the Oasis and $500 million, right?
Yeah.
But he buried it in this massive Easter egg inside of the Oasis, and so everybody goes looking for it. But then slowly, as things happen, you know, people start losing interest, and then fewer people are looking for it. You know, fewer and fewer people are looking for it, but there's a core group, and they have a nickname, but I can't remember what it is in the book, but there's a core group of people that's what they do in their spare time. They just are constantly going through 80 source material, trying to learn everything they possibly can to try to crack this Easter egg. But so between the time the guy dies and he gives out his will, basically, there's 5 years between when that happens and the main character in the movie cracks the first Easter egg that sets off everything. So it the way the trailer's set up, it makes it seem like it's almost all instantaneous.
Interesting.
So it'll be interesting to see if there's just that moment where it's like, where it fades to black and it just says 5 years later. You know, it'll be interesting to see if they do that. And like I said, there's a whole thing about net neutrality, because I guess to get on the Oasis is free. But the company, the bad guy in the film that you see, the IOI people, that are like, they all look the same, they're all getting in the same type of car. They're like the Comcast of the world. They want control of the Oasis because they want to be able to charge people to get on it. So that's where the whole net neutrality business comes into it. So I'm wondering if they'll touch on that in the film, given that it's such a hot thing right now. But that's me gushing about it. Like, was there anything in the trailer that, like, stuck out to you besides, like, that stuck out to you that was like, it's really cool to see that in this movie?
Well, like the DeLorean, that was a big one. And then of course we have the Joker Harley thing, which was interesting.
Yep,
and then there's... it was pretty, it was pretty loaded with a lot of other stuff. I didn't catch a lot of other references.
Yeah.
Because they were so quick.
Yep.
But I know that there's people that have actually sat there and dissected the entire trailer to figure out what they are. I'll just wait. But it's
I know that they have. I know that they've got, like, in the race sequence, they've got the bike from Akira. They've got Bigfoot. They've got the Mad Max's car. They've got the DeLorean. They've got the Batmobile from Batman 66.
Oh, nice.
They've got the Mach 5. They've got I don't know which one it is from Street Fighter, the guy that wears the white. It's either Ken or Ryu. I think it's Ryu. Maybe it's Ken. Where's the white one?
It's Ryu.
Okay. They've got Ryu. Lara Croft is in there. Tracer from Overwatch is in there.
Nice.
Characters from just like the Battletoads are in there. I wouldn't be surprised if the Ninja Turtles show up somewhere in there. Like, it's there's so much I talked about this on the Legends podcast last night. Like, I think that was part of the recording. Maybe it wasn't, but there's so much going on. And it's just like, you've never thought that you would see the DeLorean in a Warner Brothers movie.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's the fact that Spielberg's tied to it that he pretty much gets whatever he asks for.
Yeah, I mean, there's the Iron Giant, there's the Gundam.
I did notice those two.
Like, Chucky? There's Chucky, there's Duke Nukem, there's Freddy Krueger. It's the whole thing. It's just packed, and it's gonna be, the first trailer, it was really interesting because they had kind of at the end when they gave you like the date of when it's coming, they played the Willy Wonka.
Yep, I noticed that too.
Kind of music over it. In the second trailer, they played the Back to the Future chime.
Yep, I noticed that one.
Like it, it's so. And
it's gonna be fun,
and if that's all it is, that's all I'm expecting, is just for it to be fun. I don't want something like I said about the book. I don't need something deep and philosophical that's preaching to me, that's trying to tell something on a different level that I'm not gonna get. I just want to sit down and just have a freaking great time, like seeing all this stuff just like come together and just this like explosion of geekdom.
Yeah, I'm definitely there with you.
March can't get here soon enough. That's all. I mean, I think that's the first movie. Well, no, okay, so there's Black Panther, right? But the first after Black Panther, the first movie I'm looking forward to is Ready Player One. In fact, Ready Player One might be higher on my list than Black Panther, but that depends on the day of the week and like the phase of
the moon.
Yeah. Wait, okay. How often do you look at like movie posters for things, or do you get a chance to see movie posters? Like,
I haven't been to the movies. I don't know, all year.
Okay.
But...
okay. So.
I do look at them online though.
Okay, so obviously in my job, I get to go to theaters and I see posters all the time, okay? And I've seen posters for Black Panther and I've seen posters for Jumanji. And when I see them out of the corner of my eye, I think we're getting a Thundercats movie.
I wouldn't put it past them in Hollywood nowadays.
Well, and that's fine, but it's like those posters, like the one of the Jumanji posters is like, it says Jumanji across the back, and then there's like a cat, like a panther statue, like carved out of a mountaintop. Like, to me, that looks like what a cinematic or a live action version of the Thundercats face would look like. I see that out of the corner of my eye, and I'm like, we're getting a Thundercats movie? And then it just says Jumanji across the bottom, and I'm like, oh, okay. So.
Yeah, I mean, I would be down for it.
I would, as long as they didn't say Snarf or Whiskers.
Snarf. Whiskers.
Oh, God. That was the worst part about the
the old show.
the Cartoon Network.
Oh yeah.
2009 Thundercats was that they instead of the unique way they came up for swearing was saying whiskers.
Oh, whiskers.
That drove me nuts. So.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Ready Player One, like Tomb Raider, Super Troopers 2, Infinity War, Deadpool 2, Incredibles 2.
I don't know how I feel about Tomb Raider. I have not seen the Tomb Raider trailer in a theater yet. I've only seen it on YouTube, and to me there is a difference. Please do not try to argue with me about whether or not there's a difference. But like, it is literally the first Tomb Raider, like the 2009 Tomb Raider game, in cinematic form, in live action, which I was not expecting. But there were some great memes because they took the part of the trailer where she falls into the water, and they overlaid the death sequence from the video game. And it was like one of those, hey, I fixed your movie. And it was just, did I lose you?
I was just listening.
Oh, sorry. I think my interface changed. But yeah, it made me laugh because it was just her falling into the water like you do, and they put the death animation over top of it. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to think on the film. I'm still reserving judgment for when it comes out, just because I'd seen the originals with Angelina Jolie, and I was kind of like, oh, those are dated.
Oh, most definitely.
Like, badly dated. So, but yeah, I mean, there's a ton of stuff coming next year, so.
Oh yeah, I'm excited for more things. I'm just saying, like, in the beginning part of the year, because after Ready Player One is Deadpool 2.
So, yep. Definitely looking forward to Deadpool. Nope, that's in June.
Is that Deadpool? Isn't Deadpool in February?
No, it's in June.
You got moved?
I think so. I could be wrong.
I thought they were still pitching that as a Valentine's Day movie.
It was the last time, but.
By the way, the trailer for Deadpool is hilarious.
I know. Where he's doing the old PBS Bob guy doing the.
Yep.
The drawing.
June 1st. You're right. June 1st. So yeah, it goes. It goes Black Panther, and then Ready Player One, and then Deadpool, and then Jurassic World, and.
Then there's Dark Phoenix and
wait, Infinity War is in there somewhere. That's May, right?
Yeah, so, May 4th.
Yeah.
Haha, May 4th be with you.
And then there's Han Solo. When's the Han Solo movie come out?
May 25th.
Oh Jesus.
I've got this like collective list because like on altergeek.com I like to and I haven't gotten around to it yet, but I like to create these little graphics that show the next movie coming out.
Okay.
That I'm looking forward to, which are generally like geek related or whatnot. I mean, I have like some other ones on there that aren't necessarily geek related, but such as like I have Death Wish on there. But that's because it's Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
And it's a remake from the 70s, so. And I watched the original ones. So. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff coming. But yeah, I'm not super looking forward to a lot of the stuff until I see more about it. But that's just generally how my mind works until I see like enough trailers. Now, it comes to like a franchise like Star Trek or Star Wars. I look up spoilers, and I watch said spoilers.
See, I'm the exact opposite. I've got stuff that I'll watch like one trailer for, and then there's other stuff that I know I'm going to see, and I'm just going to go in blind. and I had a pretty good experience doing that. What was it? 2015. I did it for all of 2015. And I enjoyed, or I feel like I enjoyed every movie that I saw that year a little more than if I had like buried myself in all the freaking news stories. Cause I feel like if I dive headlong, like I read a lot. There was a lot of stuff, not to beat another dead horse here, but there was a lot of stuff about Justice League and the production problems.
Oh yeah.
And the changes. And I feel like all that stuff
ruined the film.
Knowing all that stuff just drags a movie down. Like, I'm kind of worried about what I know about Han Solo, like that the fact that they fired the two directors and brought in Ron Howard. Like, I'm a little weary about how I'm going to feel about going into that movie. I almost feel like the less I know going into certain movies, the better it is for that movie. So
I'm kind of the same mentality on most movies.
Yeah, I was going to say, so the most guy that movies. Just dug up everything he possibly could about The Last Jedi before he goes to see it.
Yeah, I did. I literally know everything that's going to happen in the entire film, but it's more so because I've been seeing a lot of, and that's kind of, you know, the same boat of, you know, if you don't tune out to everything, you're going to see something.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a bunch of different reviews of the film, and some were good, some were bad, and I don't generally trust critics anyway.
Right.
Because my thought on it is I generally don't care for their opinion, as it were. And so, like, I read the reviews, and they were always, all of them were pretty much conflicting. Of one way or the other. And they all said that it had its share of problems, and but some were willing to overlook more of it
mm-hmm.
than others. So,
well, like I don't read reviews for any type of media until I've partaken in said media, because then I'm kind of looking for someone to either validate my argument or the way I feel, like in a way that I can't, or I just want to see how other people thought. But I want to see it before I get into that business, you know, like, and so the only time I'll read reviews on anything is if it's an actual physical product, like a TV or speakers or a computer or a phone. Like, but if it's like a piece of media, I won't read a review. I could care less what somebody has to say about something that I haven't seen.
Yeah,
I'm because I don't generally like having an opinion on something that I haven't seen.
Yeah, I try to be as objective as possible mm-hmm. when I'm seeing something, even if I know what's going to happen. Because otherwise I feel like I'm biased and I'm doing everyone a disservice.
I feel like even if you know what's going to happen, I feel like there's a difference between knowing what's going to happen and seeing it happen. Because when you see it happen, you're getting context that you might not if you just know what's going to happen. It's kind of like if you just got the only way I can think to say this is like it's kind of like if you just got a birthday cake that had somebody inside of it versus getting the entire party that goes along with the birthday. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a really strange analogy, but that's like the only way I can think that it makes sense in my head. Like that's great that you know what's going to happen, and here's your cake with the person inside of it. I hope that's fun for you. But I'm gonna be over here having this whole party with everybody.
See, I don't necessarily see it that way. I kind of see it in the sense of I'm going in knowing more about the film so that I can concentrate on more of the details. Like, that way I don't feel like I've missed something.
See, and that is where I think we're a little bit different, because I can go in and I can go in and I can watch something and I can go, how did they, where on earth did they expect me to know this from? Right? Like, for example, the guy in the opening scene of Force Awakens.
Yeah.
That Poe is talking to. No idea who that guy is, but he kicks off the entire movie. But, like, I forgave it because there's this, what, 30-year gap between episode 6 and episode 7?
Yeah.
Like, I forgave that because, okay, I'm not going to know who he is, and clearly he dies in the first 5 minutes, so he's not important to what I'm going to watch. But, like, a lot of movies have that problem where, like, they will expect you to have another example, the Halo games, right? Like,
uh-huh.
I can play through the Halo games and I can enjoy them as a first-person shooter, but the story in the Halo games is crap. But and anyone that tries to defend the story in a Halo game immediately responds with, oh, you have to read the books. No, that's not how this works. Like, you don't get to say the story of Halo is good when the main medium for Halo is a video game that has a story that is almost non-existent in the game. Like, so I can go in, I can know next to nothing. I feel like that gives me an easier way of, like, knowing next to nothing allows me to go in with more of a critical eye, because if they put something out there that it seems like that I'm supposed to have known, like, no, you dropped the ball on that. Like, I don't know who this guy is. Or it ends up being like fan service. Like, I just recently watched Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, is that a movie. Well, have you seen that movie?
No.
Okay. I've heard of making movies for fans. And I've heard the whole argument, like, you know, like, critics don't get the movie was made for fans. Like, Warcraft is literally a movie made for fans. Like, there is no setup for anything in that movie.
So what you're saying is it's terrible.
from a guy that's only played Warcraft 3, yes. Like, have you played the Warcraft games?
Last time I played, and I'll preface this with, I used to play Warcraft 1 and 2.
Okay. Okay.
And then I've played WoW once.
Okay, so I feel like, and this is going to be dumb because you could probably pick this up from the title of the movie, but I feel like Warcraft might be, the story of Warcraft might be a retelling of the first Warcraft game.
Really?
But I never played the first Warcraft.
It's been so long. I mean, basically, all you did, it was basically like Command and Conquer.
Okay, right. I get what the game is, but, like, the story of the game, were the orcs invading from another plane of existence?
No, they just next village over. Just
oh, okay. Then it's not a retelling of the first movie or the first game. Like, there's no context, and so, like, but I could, the longer the movie went on, the more I was able to, like, you can still follow what's going on, but everybody who has a name, all the characters, it feels like you're supposed to know who they are. But I don't feel like the Lord of the Rings movies have these problems, because I didn't read any of the Lord of the Rings books, and I went in not having read a single Lord of the Rings book, still haven't to this day. And I still feel like I know who those characters are just from watching the first movie. Like, Warcraft is literally the definition of a movie made for fans. So I feel like not knowing stuff or if I feel like I'm missing something, that's a fault of the movie. So like if I have to go and do like the research you did so that I hope that I don't miss something, that's a fault of the movie. That's not something that I feel like I need to do, that I should have to do to make the movie better. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like I've watched Rebels, I've watched Clone Wars. Like I have an idea of who these characters are going to be, but I've never read like an expanded universe novel. Like I don't know the stories that they're drawing from, potentially for these for what's going to come around the corner. You know, but I feel like that allows me to go, I cry bullshit because you're expecting me to have known something that you gave me no way of knowing. Unless I wanted to put in the work.
Yeah.
So, but I get wanting to do the deep dive, but I'll tend to do that afterwards. Like every time I watch Force Unleashed. Every time I watch Force Awakens, I want to figure out what five planets got destroyed. But I never seem to be able to figure out which planets they are, because I feel like they're supposed to be important. Like, but they don't feel like they were important yet. Right, let's see if I can figure it out right now. Over Force Awakens, planets destroyed. Hosnian system. See, like if it was Coruscant, like I know Coruscant, but I don't think it was Coruscant.
It was Cannon Fodder City.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be something major, but it's not Coruscant. So I was like, okay, well, whatever. You just destroyed. Clearly, we're supposed to be in awe of you destroying something, but it's not like they destroyed Naboo or a known Star Wars city that we've ever seen in a movie. So, but yeah, I don't know. We just have two different, like I said, sometimes I do the deep dive, sometimes I don't. So there's no right or wrong way to view a movie. So
that's true.
It's just, it's whatever makes it enjoyable for you. I mean, sometimes I love watching trailers. Like I've watched the Ready Player One trailer. I watched it 4 times in a row. Mainly because I think that Depeche Mode song is really awesome. So that's all I got.
Sounds good. So that about rounds us out for this week on this extended edition of Altered Geek. Hope everybody enjoys having Mike back on the podcast.
Yes.
And the actual conversations.
We're still trying to work something out. I'm still trying to work out my work-life situation so that I can participate more.
And we've got some behind-the-scenes ideas for that. And I was also going back, just for the sake of it, back to when the show launched originally back in 2013, just to kind of see what people actually liked about the show.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why they came to it. And it was because the fact that it was, you know, a variety of topics with banter and different kind of conversations, because it was just random, and the fact that nobody knew what was coming up in the episode, and just the fact that it was more, you know, laid back and kind of covers everything from the geeky community and kind of listens to what people want in that aspect, which I think I kind of, and I should have done this sooner, is go back and reread those. Because I came up with this, like, highly complicated, structured format for the podcast, which it works on some occasions, but then there's some occasions I'm trying to, like, purposely pigeonhole stuff into a certain slot.
Right.
So, yeah. So, if anybody wants to interact with the show, you can do so on Facebook or on the Twitter by using the hashtag What's Geeky to You. You can comment on the episode post on alteredgeek.com, and you can get a hold of me on Twitter at SCP21. And how can they get a hold of you?
You can follow me on Twitter at BoothNinja81.
So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.